Now, you guys ready to get started?
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
With the fourth pick, the New York Jets select.
And I know what the Jets need, and they need Sauce Gardner. If you are, in fact, drafted by any team other than the Jets before the Jets choose.
With the third pick.
Would it be a problem if I came up and made sure the commissioner did not hand you that jersey?
That's what you were thinking about doing, huh?
The Rich Eisen Show. With guest host, Ryan Leaf. Today's guest, Minnesota football head coach, P.J. Fleck. Pro Football Hall of Famer, Kurt Warner. From Pro Football Focus, Trevor Sikkema. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Ryan Leaf.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Rich Eisen Show. Ryan Leaf filling in for Rich, who's going to have wall-to-wall coverage in Las Vegas tonight for the first round of the NFL Draft. As always, with me, TJ Jefferson.
Oh, what up, though?
What up? Draft day.
Draft day. Let's go.
No gym, no workouts, wings.
Nachos. Pizza.
Beer. Soda.
Excitement.
Is that the plan?
I don't know.
The pick is in.
Oh.
The pick is in.
Michael Del Tufo, the pick is in.
DJ Mikey D.
Who's it going to be? Who's number one? Let's just get right into it.
Chris Brockman.
Trayvon Walker is such a big betting favorite now. It's just so crazy.
I wonder, the meteoric rise to this pick at number one for Trayvon Walker is just
all smoke? Is a gigantic smoke screen?
You know, what Balky is doing, who knows? Maybe he just loves him, and everybody knows it, and he hasn't played his cards very well and bluffed at all. And
yeah,
I don't know, right? I mean, when you put him opposite Josh Allen, I think anybody could succeed. But, you know, a lot of his success at Georgia was because, you know, Jordan Davis was taking up three individuals.
Yeah.
A lot of the time.
Yep.
Right? Started all 15 games, only 37 tackles, 7.5 for loss. So that's impressive out of those 37. Only 6 sacks. Led Georgia with 36 quarterback hurries, named to the all-freshman team back in 2019. So, I mean, his measurables, everything, 6'5", 272, it reminds me a lot of Michael Strahan, guys.
Wow.
So, size-wise.
High praise.
Yeah, it's high praise. If he can have a semblance of Michael Strahan's career, then the number one overall pick will be worth it. So, we'll see. But we're going to do a mock draft today. We're going to go through the picks, all 32 of them, each one of us going in order. I'm going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, and then we'll take a break.
Do I get the Jets at 4?
Come on. But how did you get the first pick is my question. Like, was this an off-camera lottery we did? Like, how did you get just number one? Just out of
curiosity. Well, because I should have been the number one pick, so I get the number one pick.
That's true.
He said it with his chest. Say it with your chest.
It comes out like that a little bit, just Superman style. Kind of like how I should have won the Heisman Trophy, but didn't.
Not get carried away.
Charles Woodson is really good.
I mean,
you guys are terrible. That's not even close.
I'm being nice.
I mean, Randy Moss was there too.
I beat him.
And Peyton Manning was really good.
I had a better year than Peyton Manning.
And Curtis Enos, he went to Penn State. I'm kind of biased.
So who else is there? I mean, if you were a pragmatic person and you go and look at it through a unbiased lens,
you had a great year.
Yeah, it was a pretty good year. First time it happened in 67 years.
Charles Woodson was pretty good.
He was pretty good. I don't know if he was the Heisman Trophy winner worthy, but
I mean,
I digress. It was 25 years ago. Okay,
he's at his house. The award. I mean, the little trophy is at his house.
I got to have my night was cooler though. I got to go to Saturday Night Live and see Jack Nicholson.
That is way cooler.
Yeah, and then host.
The musical? Do you remember what? What was that?
I don't remember. It was Nicholson and Helen Hunt, December 97.
As good as it gets. Yeah.
I think Helen Hunt was actually hosting, but Nicholson was there. Was there for most of the show. I don't know who the musical guest was. Let me know when you figure that out. So we're going to do the mock draft, okay, throughout the show today. First, so get ready, Mike Del Tufo. You're picking third for the Houston Texans, okay?
Oh, see, I'm HDC Mike, so it's perfect.
Hey!
We go back. I was a temporary Houston Texans cheerleader. So.
This is unfortunately a fact, Ryan.
By the way, this is all true.
Unfortunately, we have video proof of it.
Normally,
so it's perfect.
I don't want to give Mike any credit, but this is all true.
Yeah.
TJ, you have the number 2 overall pick, the Detroit Lions.
Okay. And also, just got a tweet from Tim DeWaite. He said he wanted to talk to you about that Heisman in 97. I don't know.
Tim DeWaite.
I don't know what's going on there.
I have a really good story with Tim DeWaite when we were down in Orlando doing our football card shoot. Him and I had a good couple days down there.
Yeah. Is it something for after the show?
Yeah, something for after the show.
Okay, so
since you're tweeting with him, just get him to give you a DM on it, you know?
All right, December 13th, 1997, Saturday Night Live, hosted by Helen Hunt with musical guest
Hanson.
It was Hanson.
Hanson.
I don't remember that.
Wow.
How did I not remember? That was like the biggest song in America, probably.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
I hung out with Hanson a couple times back in the day. They were cool cats.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, the two older brothers.
That's hilarious.
Kind of sounds like the story my brother told when we were in Vegas one time, and we ran into NSYNC at the club, and my brother disappeared with them the whole night. And I wake up.
Is this the same brother that was late for the draft?
Yes, it's the same one that was late for the draft. And then I wake up the next morning, he comes stumbling and he's just like, and this is words verbatim. He's like, dude, I think I'm in the band. It was hilarious. I mean, that little man got to experience some pretty fun stuff. Listen to this. I got drafted by the San Diego Chargers. The year I go to San Diego, he enrolls as a freshman at San Diego State.
Oh,
why
man.
Wouldn't he?
Right?
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
why wouldn't he? I would have done the same
big
thing.
Big brother. Yeah. I'm following you. Let's go. Did he
Let's
live with you?
No.
So he didn't live with me. Okay. He lived in the dorms. He was trying to play basketball. Steve Fisher was the head coach there at the time. Ultimately, he moved down to either Ocean Beach or I think it might have been PB, Pacific Beach. I mean, the experience of going to San Diego State as a college student is second to none.
I can imagine, yeah.
And then, you know, one of the cars that they would give me, one of the dealerships, he drove it around the whole time, right?
Of course.
Spent a lot of time with me. We'd jump over to Vegas. I mean, the kid was 19 at the time and just living life, so he's got some good stories. But this is a special, special day for a lot of young men who play football, period. The chance to be a professional. And tonight, you get a chance to have your name called. And most people have a pretty good understanding. I mean, they've invited 21 individuals to the draft. The NFL does not do this without having a pretty good idea. Now, of course, teams can make the decisions that they want to, and there could be somebody still sitting there in the green room when the night is over. They don't like that. They love the tension, the intrigue that goes into it, but they don't want somebody there to sit there and kind of be embarrassed by it. So they have a pretty good understanding. 21 individuals are going to be there in Las Vegas tonight for the NFL draft to make it a big extravaganza. This first real time back since when COVID kind of shut things down. It was a little abbreviated again last year, and this year they're going 130 miles an hour, I think. Rich Eisen and his crew for NFL Network are going to be there. Kurt Warner, who's going to be joining us in the next hour, he'll be there as well, cover to cover for the NFL draft tonight. And Trevor Sikkema, whose mock draft is up, and we're going to go through that later on in the show from Pro Football Focus. But in about 10 minutes, PJ Fleck's going to join us. Now, I've had PJ on the show before a couple years back when I was in the boat. I was rowing with them. My first college season with ESPN calling games, and I just, you know, ESPN had asked me to do my predictions, and my Big Ten prediction was that Minnesota was going to win the West and play for the Big Ten title, and people just said that was the stupidest thing they could imagine. And sure enough, they went into that final game against Wisconsin for the Big Ten West title and just missed out. They beat the number 4 ranked team Penn State that year, and PJ has been a big part of that. Not only has he built the team back up in Minnesota, but he's developed a string of NFL talent. There's a culture being built there, and I'm interested to talk to him on how he built it and how he's going about the recruiting process because of the NIL variable that has been put in place. I don't know if you guys saw this the other day, but Oklahoma apparently is going to be giving out to every scholarship football player $50,000.
What?
$50,000 to every scholarship football player on that roster. How do you compete with that? Let's say you are Kansas, right? How do you compete with that ever? You already have a difficult time enough on the football end of things to compete with the likes of Oklahoma and the Big 12. Now, how does that happen? And we've heard coaches such as Nick Saban in particular talk about how this arms race is getting out of control. And Mark Emmert over at the NCAA, because they put all their resources and all their efforts into trying to stop it in the Supreme Court and getting batted back like crazy and just went off into the corner and whimpered. They didn't have anything in place. They just said, go. It's a free-for-all. And if there are coalitions and things that are being put together to supplement that, coaches are not supposed to have any say in any of that, but the boosters do, and you can get any player. I was just up at Washington State last weekend calling the spring game, and the new quarterback, Cam Ward, who came from Incarnate Word, apparently the Cougar Collective, they called it, is what the pool of NIL money exists, came up with a dealership that got him a car, a housing property that gave him free room and board, and then apparently $50,000 in NIL incentives. So, and he's a good one. We have a $90,000 quarterback at Washington State now in terms of NIL. I'm all for it. I want compensation for these players when their name, image, and likeness is being used. How do we concern ourselves with it? How do we monitor it? And that's one of the biggest things that Nick Saban had to say around it. And you got to wonder what that's going to look like. Now, before existed, the teams were talking about Ohio State, Oklahoma, Clemson, Alabama, Georgia's. Those are the world. They still won in the recruiting battles because they had the more money anyway within the facility, right? They're able to spend to go recruit and do more. Now the money's just kind of going outside the facility, and I believe the teams that we're talking about are still going to win those ultimately. Though my one theory on all this is there's going to be a point where somebody at Washington State, while they're recruiting, goes and talks to one of those five-star athletes that could go to Alabama and say, hey, you'd be the big fish in a small pond here. You'd be the only one. The only five-star player that would come to where you'd have to battle with 12 five-star players at Alabama. You'd be the one. You'd have all the opportunities for the NIL money. So maybe it offers an opportunity for a smaller school, a smaller market school, to grab a player that they wouldn't otherwise be able to get that can build that team and build the marketing value of that team. What are you guys' thoughts about where NIL is at, how it's dictating the college football landscape?
Yeah, it's really interesting. We've had a bunch of coaches on recently, big-time coaches too, Nick Saban, Lane Kiffin, Brian Kelly, and it's, you know, it's great. Obviously, the players deserve it. They're part of a multi-billion dollar machine that gets kind of froze out of the, you know, the spoils financially from it. And so, but just hearing some of these coaches talk, it is kind of the Wild West. There is no rule and regulation.
None.
You know, at least the NFL differs from other sport. Well, it differs from Major League Baseball in a sense that there is a salary cap and then there's a floor. You got to spend a certain amount. And you have to, and you're limited by how much you can spend, and that's why every single year, it's the greatest sport there is. There's so much parity; you really don't know who's going to win year in and year out. Half the teams don't make the playoffs the following year. You know, it's great, and I think in college football, it's going to go one of two ways. We're either going to have a separate kind of 50-team league, and then they're just going to have this gigantic, cool super league, or we're going to have kind of like the old days where it's, you know, not really, you don't really know who's going to win year in and year out. You maybe have an idea, but now we're in this age. It's like, are we going to have a floor that these schools have to spend? Obviously, they have huge athletic budgets. Most of it goes to football and basketball. or we're going to have a salary cap, so to speak. And that's really the only way to even it out. If not, we're just going to have, you know, the same dozen schools kind of competing for the championship.
The thing about that is if you salary cap it within the school, you still have endorsement deals that NFL players get outside of that. Like some NFL players make more in endorsements than they do in salary.
Sure, sure, exactly.
And that's the NIL aspect of it, right? There's going to be an Alabama booster that is willing to dish out millions of dollars.
Yeah, or Texas or, you know, whoever. Just whatever school's kind of got the deepest pockets. I don't know how you see it, TJ. It's just one of those things, like, maybe the sport's better off if they just have, like, a 40-team Super League, and then because those are the teams that can afford to compete for the championship.
Yeah, I have no idea what the correct answer is, but I agree with what you were saying, and it just kind of seems like, much like everything else in life, you know, when you have the money already and you have the power, the scales are always going to be weighed in your favor.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you know, it's the case we're looking at now. I don't know how you make it fair and balanced in college sports when you have an Alabama, you know, where you have, like, I had no idea, Ryan, about the $50,000 per player. So each scholarship player at the beginning of the season or whenever is going to get a check or a deposit in their account for 50 grand.
Yeah.
First of all, that's amazing. But also, like you said, like,
and you probably, how many scholarship athletes can, at the college level?
90, 100?
Yeah,
that's a lot.
Like, yeah, that's fantastic for them.
Do the math here, everybody. Like,
well, you know, we're better with words than we are with numbers.
I'm going to do
90, it's 4.5 million.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, 90 and times 50.
Yeah, $4.5 million a year.
By the way, and the percentage of their athletic budget, that $4.5 million is very small for the football budget.
But I don't believe, again, the university can pay them in any way. This is all outside money that's coming in.
Right.
It has to be. So.
Right. They're not employees of the university.
Right.
Right.
We'll ask PJ Fleck here a little bit more about that and about how he's put together one of the better football programs in terms of talent to the NFL with a limited ability in terms of marketing and exposure when we come back. You're listening to The Rich Eisen Show here on Peacock TV and Westwood One Radio. I'm Ryan Leaf. We'll be right back.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. Because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN.
Welcome back, everybody, to The Rich Eisen Show. Draft Day Extravaganza. I'm Ryan Leaf, filling in for Rich, who's going to be on the wall-to-wall coverage tonight for NFL Network in Las Vegas. Joined, as always, with TJ Jefferson, Michael Del Tufo, Chris Brockman. And our next guest has become a good friend and a guy that I really look up to, who's really taken a program to new heights in his tenure as the University of Minnesota Golden Gophers head football coach. Let's welcome to the show head coach PJ Fleck. Hey, Coach.
Hey, Ryan. How are you, man?
I'm doing really well. How are you doing?
I'm doing elite. Thanks for asking.
Doing elite. Yeah, yep, yep. Love it. Draftable players at your university have skyrocketed. We look back the few drafts before and where we sit for tonight and for the weekend, and I'd like to talk about a couple of those players, but just the culture that you've cultivated and really put in place there that has allowed for this and allowed for you to go recruit those types of athletes and develop. Just kind of talk to us about that philosophy, that culture you've built so far in Minneapolis.
Yeah, first of all, I mean, it takes a whole village, right? And we've got incredible people here, Ryan, and you've been around our program here and there and got to know what we do and how we do it. But, you know, the reason, you know, I'm here is to be able to be a bridge that connects our 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s of national championships, Big Ten championships, and be that bridge in culture to connect it to today. And one of our main focuses is we've got to get more talented players and be able to develop them on and off the field. Because how you do one thing is how you do everything. So academically, we have the highest GPA in the history of the program. Socially, our players are doing the right things for the most part, right? And wanting to do and build healthy relationships. Spiritually, doesn't mean religion, just means believe in something bigger than yourself. Make it about someone else. Serve and give. And then athletically, we hope you really want to play in the NFL. Football's too hard if you just don't have that dream, right? And a lot of our guys do. And that's one of the main points in recruiting. So when we got here, we said we want to be able to do it our way. We didn't want to do it with a bunch of transfers. We wanted to do it with high school kids, develop them from freshmen, give them a chance to play early, and then develop them all the way through, because those are the models of the Wisconsins and the Iowas. And we've got to be able to get our program to that level. We haven't had an offensive lineman drafted since 2006. Think about that stat, right? An offensive lineman, period. Well, that was one of the main things we said we were going to change. And this year, this week's draft, Blaze Andres, right? Daniel Falele, Sam Schluter. Hopefully we have three guys drafted, but those are guys we played very, very early. And then hopefully they set the precedent for what we're doing into the future. So, again, it's a holistic approach. It's a holistic culture. And our guys really care about their entire life. And it's worked out okay for us.
You mentioned Daniel Falele. And tell us a bit about him, what went into the process. He's 6'9", 380 pounds. If any of you guys have ever seen him up against not only Coach Fleck, but his other teammates. Just talk about his impact and what it's like coaching a player like him.
Well, first of all, I mean, you know, this is called the Big Ten for a reason, not the Little Ten. And you better be big up front. And when we were looking at recruiting our first year, we were looking at line, we're like, we got to get way bigger, first of all, because we're a very heavy inside zone team, outside zone team, counter team. We got to get big. And but you still have to be athletic. And, you know, he had every offer from everybody in the country. And I still remember one of the things that set him apart was our administration. I mean, Mark Coyle, our athletic director, allowed us to fly his mom from Australia to here, which back then, I mean, the ticket was astronomical. I'm sure a lot of people said, well, mom's not going to come out to visit. We flew mom out, and next thing you know, he committed. And I said, why'd you commit here? He said, well, you took care of my mom. You flew her out on the official visit. And in his culture, it's everything. And that meant everything to him and his family. Not only that, that showed in his life, because when he did come here, shoot, mom moved here. She ended up moving to Minneapolis and brought the whole family. So when you kind of think about all in, that's what you kind of think about with Daniel and his family and the people that support him. And I'm just very thankful he chose Minnesota. And it worked out really well for us.
Yeah, it certainly has. He was Tanner's protector there for that time. Another prospect that I've had a chance to really look at, Boye Mafa. Talk to us about his presence, what you expect from him, where he could go in the next couple of days, and his development at Minnesota with you.
Yeah, well, we hope he goes tonight. You know, I think he's got the skill set. You know, we said from day one that he's going to, when people watch him at the combine, he's going to have the best numbers at the combine. And he darn near did that. And that we knew that right when we recruited him. He's from Hopkins, Minnesota. Incredible pass rusher. That's at the given. But I think one thing he's gotten way better at, which I hopefully feel like, you know, the amount of teams that keep talking to me about him, even all the way up through the draft, has been how good he's been on the first and second down run game. And I think you can have just the pass rusher, or you can have a pass rusher, plus he can play first and second down. And we're talking about 46 guys active roster for game day. The more Swiss Army knives you can have, the better, as long as the knife is still sharp. So for him, that's a little bit about him. He's one of the best people you will ever meet. He's a wonderful locker room connector. He's a pleaser. He's just such a phenomenal human being. And whichever team he goes to, he's going to make that team better instantly. And he's very grateful. He's very humble. He's gonna do very well in the league.
Well, hopefully he falls in line with the Batemans and, of course, the Winfield Juniors of your program, who have just exemplified it incredibly well. Let's talk about your current program. And you just finished the spring. What was your biggest takeaway from this football team and the next step you guys are going to make heading into 2022?
Yeah, we actually talked about breaking boring. That's been the whole theme of the year. And to just, you know, we kind of in a society that, you know, we go through COVID and everybody gets bored and everybody wants to go back to work. Then everybody goes back to work and we don't want to work anymore. We want to go back to not doing anything. It's just kind of boring. So we wanted to create non-boring, break it. And so everything we've done since January has been completely different than what we've done it. We're actually still not done with spring ball. We got today's practice, and then we got our spring game on Saturday. I think we're the latest spring game in the country, but all done by design. And our players have answered every challenge. They've chased every challenge down, and they've answered every bell that we have put in front of them since January. It's a fun team to coach. They truly do it for each other. And hopefully with that combination of breaking boring, doing it for each other, that we can find a way to soar to new heights. And if we can do that, that would be really good for our football program.
Was there a thought process in place, like you just talked about, of placing the spring game so late, in particular because the deadline for the transfer portal, of course, is May 1st, and it kind of a lot of players sometimes think and evaluate what spring ball looks like, but you guys go right up to that deadline and it kind of allows you to really understand what your roster is going to be.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that go into it. One, you get a lot more time on the front end of just individual instruction with the NCAA rules. You get to play football a little bit longer, right? And so a lot of teams have been on the road recruiting, which means you're away from your team during this portal. And I wanted to be around my team all the way up until the end. Our guys have very open, transparent conversations inside this program. I have very open and transparent conversations with them. I wanted to be around them. And for the guys who are going to enter, a lot of them already know. And a lot of them are going to have a talk here very soon. So it wasn't about hiding it from me or me hiding it from them. I feel like being around my team is really important all the way through to when the portal can obviously end. And I think that's really healthy to have. Open conversations and be around our team as long as we possibly can be around them. Because if we're around them and they know it's open and transparent and it's honest, then that doesn't allow a lot of people to come in from different parties and third parties and put things into her head. Next thing you know, I can't do anything about it because I'm on the road recruiting. I can't see you. So there's a lot of healthy benefits to it and a lot of them on the field as well. It gave us more time on the front end to prepare. Not only that, we usually practice, then go on spring break, then come back. But this week, this time we went all the way to spring break, went on spring break, came back for two more weeks where we could just do individual instruction, get them in the weight room, adapt them a little bit more. Because we saw a lot of soft tissue injuries at times coming back from spring break when they maybe haven't done everything our tempo for that week. And then we've had a pretty healthy training camp, a healthy spring ball. So, again, a lot of reasons that go into it. I really liked how the COVID schedule worked, and we just, again, finding new ways to do it, finding new ways to make your program better, and listening to the data that's out there.
We're speaking with Minnesota Golden Gophers head football coach PJ Fleck here on the Rich Eisen Show. I want to talk to you a little bit about the recruiting aspect of things and the NIL variable that's hanging out there, right? Coaches and programs aren't influential with that aspect of things. It's outside. What is your take on this? We've talked to many different coaches about the NIL thing and what needs to change, because ultimately this is becoming an arms race and smaller market teams are going to have a difficult time staying up.
Well, I think that, one, if it's good for the student athlete, I'm good with.
Right.
I've always said that. I think the transfer portal, its intentions of being created are incredibly healthy. NIL, the intentions of how it's created, is 100% healthy and all about the student athlete. When you start to look at where we are with NIL, I think it's really positive for players to be able to benefit off their name. But again, when we're kind of going down, where will college football look like? I think that's where it all gets mixed, right? And when NIL and transfer portal collide, and then there's tampering, and then there's all these other things, players leaving school to go for more money or things like that, which I don't know if everybody saw coming. But now with the NCAA, the future of that or what it looks like, everybody's kind of in this holding pattern, including the rules committee, right? So it's going to be interesting over the next however many months of what college football actually looks like. But again, we're taking it one day at a time here. Our student athletes are able to benefit from it. We can't have any involvement in it, but they can benefit from it. And then not only the transfer portal, it's originally intended for student athletes to go benefit somewhere else if you're not going to play.
Yeah.
We benefited off the transfer portal. So like anything, change is inevitable. And we're going to find out here in the next however many months of what the future of college football looks like. And I'm sure it'll then change some more as we keep moving forward.
Well, I before I let you go, I wanted to give you kind of an opportunity in the platform to talk about one of your amazingly inspirational players in Casey O'Brien and his fight against cancer. You've spoken openly about it. What he's been meant to the team and the staff and everything like that, and can kind of give us an update of where he's at and how you guys are dealing with it.
Well, I think if the world had all Casey O'Briens, I don't think we'd have the problems we have in our world right now.
Yeah,
he's one of the most remarkable human beings you will ever meet, one of the most inspirational human beings, courageous human beings, and he's what Row the Boat is all about. Or is always in the water. He always has a positive attitude. He never gives up. He's what that's all about. He's, you know, battling cancer for the sixth time, and he's defeated it five times. And there's no doubt in my mind he'll defeat it for a sixth time. You know, he works for RBC. He's in the financial world. And the outlook he has on life, we can all learn from. And I think he's just that inspiration that we all need. And sometimes we just need to stop and look how other people have it. And he not only has been dealt some really rough cards, he's been able to play those cards in a very positive way. He's raised an enormous amount of money for the Masonic Children's Hospital. He's got an amazing platform and uses it for all the good when a lot of people just look at it as so bad. I've never met anyone like him. And he's so close to our program. He's at practice all the time. And now he's got another fight on his hands. So any thoughts, prayers, anything towards Casey O'Brien that the listeners can do would be much appreciated. But there's no doubt in my mind that he'll defeat it for the sixth time here soon. And he's just one of the best human beings you'll ever meet.
Well, Coach, I appreciate that. Yeah, he is a definite inspiration. So are you. Continue your great work there at the University of Minnesota. I can't wait. And maybe next time I get out there, you'll actually be on campus so we can spend some time together. How about that?
I would love that. You guys are welcome anytime. Appreciate you having us on the show. Row the Boat, Sky and Mago. Go Gophers and go T-Wolves.
Thank you. Coach P.J. Fleck, University of Minnesota head football coach. He is he's got his line right in the right direction on how he goes about things. And a lot of people have talked about how it's kind of a slick, you know, marketed, but he's consistent, right? It's nothing. It doesn't shift. Sometimes people are just that way. I think a lot of people get pushed the wrong way when Russell Wilson talks the way he talks, right? The guy's just lined up. There's a focus to what he does. Coach P.J. Fleck there, he's put together a pretty darn good group of talented players to come into Minneapolis. Antoine Winfield Jr., for one of them, is an example. Goes out, wins a Super Bowl in his first season. He was there, a big part of that 2019 team where PJ was the coach of the year in the Big Ten. So good luck to them. All right. We've come to that moment. All right.
Hey, boys, let's go.
It is the 2022 NFL Draft.
Yes.
Your commissioner for the day, Ryan Leaf.
Hey-o.
Hey-o.
Boo. That's what happened.
Yep, used to that. Used to that. All right, so Mr. Michael Del Tufo, give me the first overall pick sound.
Oh, hold on a second,
oh,
people.
Oh, goodness.
There we go.
There we go. I wanted some music. I was going to play some music.
All right, everybody. The first overall pick.
Should we explain what we're doing?
Okay, yeah. So we'll repeat this again. All right. We are doing our own mock draft here in order, right? Yes. I'm got the number one overall pick. TJ's number two. Michael's number three. Chris is number four. Then we'll repeat each segment. There are 32 picks. There are four of us. Each one of us will do 8 picks throughout the process.
Yes.
And if you are a general manager or really anybody out there that is picking tonight,
pay attention
and tune into this. This is where you will make your money,
This is all set in stone. This is what's going down tonight in Vegas.
This is what's going down tonight in Las Vegas.
All right, Ryan, you have the first pick.
Yep. So my number one choice.
You got to do it officials. Do it like the commissioner.
Yep.
Jacksonville Jaguars.
With the number one overall pick in the 2022 NFL draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Kayvon Thibodeau, defensive end, Oregon Ducks.
Pick my music.
Wow.
He, for me, last year going into the season, was the perennial number one overall pick. There was nothing in the season outside of the injury that would have dissuaded me from that. His ability is just a little different than what Josh Allen does. You put those two on the side to one another, he can drop in coverage. He can really be a 3-4 linebacker who can rush the passer. I think you are making huge waves if you take him at any point if you need a defensive help. So Kayvon Thibodeau, the first overall draft pick out of the University of Oregon.
Wow.
The pick is in.
The Lions are on the clock. Wow, did that just screw you up, TJ?
TJ's like, oh.
No, because, I had a feeling, Ryan, before the show, was talking about, what if I do something? So I kind of figured that maybe he might think outside of the box a little bit. And I'm just writing this name down so we can hand the card over.
Just get the card in.
All right,
you're doing the card. And, the Detroit card Lions. All right, here we go. And then the guy in the headset rushes it up to the commissioner.
All right, with the number two overall pick in the 2022 NFL Draft, the Detroit Lions select.
Hey, Ryan, just want to say what's up to the Detroit Lion Nation. And with the second pick, the Detroit Lions are going to choose Aiden Hutchinson.
Whoa.
Michigan, edge.
Oh, yeah.
Hail to the victors. And what up, Rich Eisen?
Yeah, this is a great fit, right? Hometown, homegrown, unless you're a Michigan State fan, I suppose, out there. But they got to be really happy. Dan Campbell, if he were to, if Aiden Hutchinson were able to fall to him at number two,
he's gonna go nuts.
Wow,
biting so many kneecaps.
Yep.
And I feel like with Hutchinson, you know what you're gonna get, and I feel as though if you pick this guy, he's gonna be a solid. And sometimes solid is used negatively, and I don't mean it negatively. I'm like, this guy's gonna give you 10 years and be a very good football player. Could he be? Hall of Fame caliber? I don't know, but the ceiling's pretty high with this guy, right?
Well, Ryan, there's only 362 Hall of Famers ever, so it's
tough.
It's a lofty expectation.
Lofty,
all right,
true.
Pick is in.
Del Tufo
with the third overall pick in the 2022 NFL Draft, the Houston Texans select
offensive tackle from North Carolina State, Akem Ekwonu.
Yay!
You guys definitely I was going to mess that name up. Brockman and TJ.
Eric B. and Akem. Is that what you guys said?
Yeah, that's exactly how I got it.
Ekwonu is exactly what they need to protect Davis Mills if they want to really see what he can do and how he can develop. There was a real possibility that three defensive edge rushers could go in the first three picks. I think this is a safe pick. This is one that really develops that team. And now they can go in search of some other positives. a defensive end would have helped them on that side of the football. But I'm okay with this pick if I'm a Houston Texans fan out there.
Woof. Well done, Mike.
All right.
Yeah, I think it's pretty funny and ironic
You haven't gotten announced yet, Chris.
That I get to make the Jets pick.
This is fantastic.
Awesome.
With the number four pick in the 2022 NFL draft, the New York Jets select.
Matt, it's been great hearing Rich talk about who he wants in this pick for the last couple of months. Let's just do it.
Do it.
Sauce. Quarterback. Cincinnati.
Sauce.
Gardner.
Yeah. I like it. The length, the ability. This is.
Jets. We would have heard that in the other day.
Yeah. First team All American AP out of Cincinnati, right? Ahmad Sauce Gardner, 6'3", 190 pounds. I mean, this is when I was playing football and I watched a corner walk by and he was the size of what Sauce is, I was just, this guy's going to be a problem, yeah. Especially with how he can run.
I'm going the other way.
So I think this is a can't-miss pick for the New York Jets. Good job on you, Brockman, and I hope Joe Douglas and the rest of that organization really tuned in and paid attention to what's
Absolutely.
Going on.
Absolutely. Great job, guys. Great first four picks.
Great first four picks. It. We're going to get to the next four after the break here. You're listening to the Rich Eisen Show. I'm Ryan Lee filling in for Rich. It's the 2022 NFL Draft here in El Segundo.
Let's go.
Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Rich Eisen Show, the NFL Draft Extravaganza. And Rich, of course, is in Las Vegas for the wall-to-wall coverage by NFL Network tonight, starting at 8 p.m. Eastern. Right on the Bellagio fountains water display right there. We've just gone through the first four picks in the Rich Eisen Show mock draft that if you were a general manager out there, you should be paying attention to. To give you a recap, Kayvon Thibodeau went first overall defensive end out of the University of Oregon. Two, Aiden Hutchinson to Detroit.
Icky.
Offensive lineman.
Akwunu
went to the Houston Texans out of North Carolina State. And then, as Rich will be very happy to know, Sauce Gardner.
I got him Sauce.
Went to the New York Jets. So we are at pick number five. Sauce. The Giants are on the clock. And the pick is in. The New York Giants select in the 2022 NFL Draft Evan Neal, offensive tackle, University of Alabama. This dude has so much to offer, right? One of the biggest thing is he has over 700 snaps at right tackle as well. Like, when a guy comes into the NFL and they think about having to move him because they already have somebody in place and this guy is just a great fit as a player, and having to move them around? Are you kidding me? This guy can do both. I think he is a very, very diverse player. He's played at so many different positions. So excited for him. The New York Giants get a good one there at number 5. All right, pick is in for the Carolina Panthers.
Ooh, TJ.
The 2022 NFL Draft, 6th overall pick, the Carolina Panthers select.
Take a quarterback, do
hey,
it.
Hey, guys.
Take a quarterback, do it.
Here to represent Panther Nation, keep pounding.
Keep pounding.
With the number 6 pick in the 2022 NFL Draft, the Carolina Panthers will be selecting, and let me just make sure we have this right, yes, Trayvon Walker. Defensive lineman, Georgia.
Value. Can't pass up value.
I mean, you can't. It's kind of like best player left on the board. I don't know really what Carolina's needs are other than quarterback, but you can't let this guy kick.
They kind of need everything, right, Ryan? They need a tackle. They need defensive line help.
Yeah, they needed everything. Yeah. So this is if you're a Carolina Panthers fan out there and you watched Trayvon Walker slip to number 6, you got to be pretty happy, because a lot of people, especially the betting folks in Vegas, think this guy's going to be the number 1 overall draft pick tonight when their names are called. All right.
There you go, Del Tufo. Let's go.
The Giants are back because of a trade with the Chicago Bears. They have the 7th overall pick. So the New York Giants select in the 2022 NFL Draft is
wide receiver Garrett Wilson from Ohio State.
Hey.
They need someone for Daniel Jones to throw the ball to.
You definitely do. You got the O lineman to protect him at 5, and now you get the wide receiver who's probably the best in the draft, in Garrett Wilson out of Ohio State. Great pick. I don't think that the Giants could have.
Ryan, I'm sorry. Where was he out of?
Ohio State.
No, the.
Oh, sorry. The sorry. Ohio State yeah, University.
The, that's right. I should have said right the Ohio State. I
the Ohio guys, State University. All right. Rounding out the first 8 picks of the NFL draft, the Atlanta Falcons select.
All right, guys. The Falcons also a team with a lot of needs, but we got a big one. Calvin Ridley out for the year. We need his replacement. Let's go big. Wide receiver, Alabama, Jameson Williams.
Hey.
I love Jameson Williams. My big thing on this, though, is that I don't know if he's going to be able to go for, you know, I don't know how long it's going to be until he's able to go. And that could play an effect in terms of what a team needs. Do they need it immediately? Is Atlanta in a place where they're like, we just want to get better. We know we're not going to be in the playoff mix this year, so let's get a guy for our future. I like it. Jameson Williams easily could have been, would have been, I think, the number 1 overall wide receiver drafted in this year's draft if the injury didn't happen late in the college football playoff.
Massive upside. We saw what he did before the injury. And just think of that combination with Kyle Pitts and then whoever they get as their quarterback of the future. Obviously, he will help Marcus Mariota in the short term, but in the long term, they are in the market for a quarterback. And what better offensive pair to have than this guy Williams and Kyle Pitts?
Also, Brockman, Jameson pairs very nice with Sprite as well. I don't know if you.
Oh, it does.
If you were aware of that.
That's true. I might have some of that.
That's
tonight.
An alcohol reference for those of you that are listening out there. Jameson is a whiskey.
Irish whiskey.
Yes. J-Mo, I will say this.
J-Mo and Sprite. J-Mo very and Sprite. Nice.
He should have had an NIL deal in Alabama for Jameson whiskey.
Come on. It made too much sense.
Hey. Too much sense. Hey. Yeah. Make it not make sense, all right? Make it not make sense there. Jameson, do your job tonight. Not the guy, the company. All right. First 8 picks are on the board. Kayvon Thibodeau goes number 1 to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Aiden Hutchinson to the Lions. Ike, offensive lineman, to
Ekwonu
to the Houston. I got to get it. Ekwonu goes to the Houston Texans. Sauce Gardner to the Jets. Evan Neal to the Giants. Trayvon Walker to the Panthers. And Garrett Wilson, once again, to the Giants. Jameson Williams to the Falcons. All right. Those are your first 8 picks in the Rich Eisen 2022 mock draft. When we come back, we're going to have Kurt Warner tell us all about what's going to happen in tonight's NFL draft and where these quarterbacks may land. I'm Ryan Lee, filling in for Rich Eisen. All right. So
good start, guys. Good start.
We're going to move some things around, right? Just a little bit.
Near the end of the
later,
draft.
Later in the draft, so we can get some, you know, some fandom into it, right? You're going to pick for the Cowboys.
Of course.
Chris Brockman, you're going to pick for the Patriots.
Where are the Cowboys, TJ? What
24. Number? Oh, 24.
24.
Okay. Pats are 21.
I would pick for the Rams, but we don't have a pick.
Yeah, you don't have it. You said F.
You don't have a pick. You don't have a pick until 2045, actually.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, I could go to sleep for a couple years.
Is there a team that you would like to pick for?
Let me think.
Mike, you can, well.
Well, Mike, just take the Cardinals and we'll just swap that around. And unless
I'll take what I will take Tampa Bay. I'll take the Bucks.
27. All right.
Well, I already have you scheduled to
yeah,
beat Tampa.
Already have.
Then let's not do anything. Let's just leave that
side. Let's leave me.
You're already scheduled to beat Tampa.
Every four picks.
You have too much to do there by pressing the button for the Bells. I understand.
I don't have the names written of who's doing what.
I can't have everything ready.
Come on, people. I gotta do this every time.
Yeah, you already have Tampa Bay. Yeah.
By the way, low key, huge sports night tonight. We got 3 game sixes in the NBA playoffs.
Yes.
Yep. Obviously a full Major League Baseball slate, hockey as well. And then the first round of the draft. Multiple TV situations.
Love it.
And you know what? That is the best point. I'm gonna have all 4. I gotta show you guys my man cave. I have my studio I have set up. I got 4 TVs.
Oh, baby. Okay, you fancy,
yeah,
huh?
All 3 games, you know, all the games going, baseball, Cubs.
Yep. Yep, and I got to do some radio hits tonight with NFL radio and stuff, so I'm excited for this stuff.
Yeah, me too.
I have not been excited for the NFL draft for, you know.
Since last draft?
I was recently, right? Recently, like 2 years ago, before COVID hit, I was actually in Missouri speaking at a graduation commencement where I was made a doctor. So if you guys, you know,
Dr. Leaf,
I'm Dr. Leaf.
Oh, well, you should be stunned with that, bro.
I should, but I feel a little, you know, it's an honorary doctorate. So
I'm gonna call you doc.
Thank
the rest
you,
of the
man.
Show.
I'm not.
I've tried to tell Anna that she's got to call me doctor, and that hasn't gone over well at all. So, so I didn't get to see any of it, and then I watched a little bit, of course, when it was at home. In Roger Goodell's basement, and then the last 2 years, a little bit more excitement, excited for these young men. That's what it should always be about, the excitement for these young men and the opportunity that's presented to
them. Hence the bear hugs that you and Brockman don't like. I'm hugging Goodell. I'm sorry.
Not hugging him. Throwing him in the water, raising my fist to the word. We'll be right back.
Judd Nelson?